This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. I'm Dave Brown, joined once again by Joita Gupta and Michelle McQuigg. We've got one more issue to examine. Oxfam is proposing that the 10 richest people in the world pay a one-time 99% tax on their pandemic-era profits to fund global vaccine production for developing countries and also fund social support programs in 80 developing countries. So there's definitely something to this idea. Wealth inequality has come into focus domestically and abroad throughout the pandemic. Governments have largely shouldered the cost of keeping some semblance of economic stability in place, but several companies have clearly profited by obscene margins over the last 2 years via Oxfam's numbers in their report. The 10 richest people in the world have doubled their wealth in the last 2 years. Now, it's going to take years and loads of public money to rebuild and fund programs that serve marginalized people. And it should be noted that this idea is so impractical jurisdictionally that it could never actually get any real traction. If anything, its impracticality immediately renders it to the level of a thought experiment. And y'all know that's my favorite kind of experiment. So let's engage with this idea. So, Joita, when a good idea, because it is a good idea, is taken to such an extreme and riddled with impracticality, does that unfortunately make it too easy to dismiss?
It's such an interesting question, and I got into a bit of a debate about it last night with my husband. And where we got stuck was, how impractical is it, and what is it that actually makes it impractical? Is it that it just cannot be done? Let's sit with that premise for a minute. If you were to talk about what Oxfam is actually saying, which is a one-time taxation on 99% of the earnings amassed by the 10 richest people in the world during the pandemic, even if you actually went through with it, these people would still remain obscenely rich.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the one thing to keep in mind. It's a bit like war profiteering. Right? Whether intentioned or not, you know, the idea here is that Oxfam is using this to try and draw attention to widening income and wealth inequality and how it's become a real problem. It's always been a problem, but how it's become a real problem during the pandemic. So one of the issues here is that it's impractical, not because it can't be done. I'm sure there are ways to do it if you actually wanted to do it. But I think that what needs to come into play here is it might be impractical more so because I don't know if there's that kind of political will to try and address wealth inequality in any meaningful way. There is a strategy that they could have used with this Oxfam report, which they didn't, which is where you kind of bring up this really high level idea and you talk about the 99% tax, but then you also bring in a set of other measures, like let's call them reform measures, where you basically say, well, okay, maybe we can't tax 99%, but maybe we could take away 50%. And so then you start to get into some of those practicalities. And I don't know, I mean, I didn't go into the minutiae of the report, I'll be honest with you. Maybe they did bring that forward as a way to try and practically address the problem, but that does seem to be missing from the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'll give them some credit that the 99% number jumps out at you, and it has made a lot of headlines.
So Michelle, that's what jumped out to me as well, right? That although there's some impracticality to this, the bombast means that it gets attention. So where do we find that balance between getting attention, but maybe being too easily dismissed?
Yeah, that's a perennial question with a lot of media stuff. And I can't help but view this issue through that lens. So forgive me, but that's how a lot of this is how I have to engage with a lot of the world. And it is tricky because the fact is that a lot of people don't read beyond the headlines. And while I feel it's absolutely essential for media to remain responsible and not to abandon nuance in their coverage or their approach just because some readers aren't interested in nuance, the fact is that a lot of people won't read beyond this. And so when you present an idea that lends itself so readily to a more sensational treatment, that can be a little bit problematic because of the fact that people don't necessarily engage on the level that we might want them to with an experiment like this or with a notion like this. So I do think that presentation really matters, and proportion and nuance and scale for these kinds of ideas all matter, but they're difficult to capture. And I do think that they detract that kind of thing from the more kind of substantial discussion that clearly a lot of people are interested in having.
So the practicality that I keep coming back to is the lack of an international body that could actually do this, right? We have places like the IMF and the WTO, but they're hardly considered a place that is for strong taxes on multinational corporations. Yes. But guys, we've only got sort of 90 seconds here for 45 seconds each on these answers. But Juita, do you think there might be some practicality in creating a mechanism that all multinational corporations need to buy into? If you want to globalize, you have to buy into this potential taxing framework from a place like the WTO or IMF or a new organization. Okay, I think we've lost Juita. Michelle, what do you think of that idea of saying, like, we create some kind of international organization that can actually say, hey, you want to be a globalized MNC, multinational corporation, you have to buy into some taxing framework?
I think there'd be... there'd be value in having someone to do some of the heavy lifting and sort out some of not just the practical obstacles, but some of the other nuances that need to be brought to bear here. In that, if we're looking at this particular case study, for instance, not all people who benefited through the pandemic are created equal. Some of the people who have benefited from this significantly are, of course, the heads of the pharmaceutical companies that have developed vaccines. So companies like that have contributed in a very real way to that. To the pandemic recovery effort. Should those people be treated the same way as others who might have profited through less altruistic means, perhaps? I don't know.
Poor labor practices and then financing their own trips to space and then hiring a bunch of scientists to reverse aging.
Yes. Maybe if...
That was a story that came out yesterday that a certain former owner of a large river named corporation is paying a bunch of scientists to try and stop the process of dying. So, you know.
To pick some examples completely at random. Yes. Yeah. That kind of thing.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.